Well, we've been in this series, The Fruit of the Spirit, and we've talked about love, joy, peace. Last Sunday, long-suffering, and today we're going to talk about the fruit of gentleness. The fruit of gentleness. Now, what do you think of when you hear the word gentle? Probably not the dentist, right? Most people do not think of the dentist when they think of gentleness. You know, many people have a phobia of going to the dentist and feel like all they do is inflict pain, and then they really like inflicting the pain, you know. But when you think of the word gentle, maybe you think of your mom. Moms have a way of being gentle. You know, they have an instinct. They have an awareness. They have a touch. They have a gift, really, from the Lord in being gentle. And I know sometimes in our house, you know, something will happen and I'll be like, yeah, they'll be fine, you know, and there's blood squirting everywhere, you know, and there's a real problem. And Susanna will come in and provide some balance and some gentleness to that. And there is a gentleness that moms have, and there's a gentleness that God wants you and I to have as His child. In fact, Paul illustrated this when he wrote the believers in Thessalonica in your notes in 1 Thessalonians 2:7. He says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And Paul was a strong preacher of the gospel. Paul took a strong stand. Paul suffered persecution and great affliction, and yet he had a compassionate heart as a minister, though, for the people in whom he was reaching. Webster's Dictionary defines gentleness as to be generous or to be kind. And God wants you and I as His children to be generous and to be kind. When Benjamin Franklin was training his children, he said this. He said, I want to speak ill of no man, not even in the matter of truth, but rather excuse the faults I hear, and upon proper occasion speak all the good I know of everybody. What a great thought. That's what Benjamin Franklin wanted to be known for, and that's what he wanted to train his children to do. Not to speak ill of people, but on any proper occasion to speak all the good he knew of anyone he knew. And what a great way to live, to be gentle, to be generous, and to be kind. Now, that doesn't describe a lot of today's culture and society. We live in a dog-eat-dog world. There's a race out there. There's an achievement to be accomplished, and there's somebody in your way, and you better move beyond them as fast as you can. And it's interesting how that shows up from time to time. In 2003, in the sixth game of the National League Championship Series between the Florida Marlins and the Chicago Cubs, something happened. Now, the Chicago Cubs at this time were still under the curse. They've won the World Series since then, but at this time they were still under the 100-year curse and had not won, and they were looking good in this series. But in the sixth game, there was a run hit, and a fan by the name of Steve Bartman accidentally interfered with the outfielder to catch a fly ball. And as a result, the hit then became a home run. As a result, the Cubs lost the game and eventually lost the series. Well, the name got out, Steve Bartman, and what he had done. And while there was no intention, certainly, to throw the game, it was just trying to take home a souvenir, fans became very angry and very outraged. In fact, he began to receive so many death threats that the Chicago Police Department had to order around-the-clock protection for Steve and his family for fear of his life. Now, we live in the kind of culture that if somebody interrupts a ball game and our team doesn't win, there are people who literally want to do that person bodily harm or kill him because the team did not win. And we live in a time where people are very angry, where people are very vindictive, where they want to get even at no cost, and there certainly is a lack of gentleness. But God wants you and I to be gentle, to be generous, to be kind. And sometimes that is difficult to find in this world. But when a Christian is manifesting that, when you see that in somebody, it sets them apart and it helps with their testimony. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now listen, in a society where that is being said, someone who is being gentle and being kind stands out. And that's what God wants of you and I, to display this fruit of gentleness. Now, we all have sinned. We all have a sin nature. It's not our nature maybe to display this kind of characteristic from the Lord, but with God's help, we can do it. And in order to do that, I want us briefly this morning to look at three truths regarding gentleness. Notice number one, our example of gentleness. Now, as a Christian, we have a great example of any characteristic that God wants us to display. And of course, that is Jesus Christ. And He is the chief example of many things in life that God wants you and I to display. The Bible says of Him, Psalms 117, verse 1, "Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." The Lord Jesus Christ is our example of gentleness. He is great in kindness. That's just who He is. It's who His person is, and it's who He desires for you and I to be. And notice as we study the example of Jesus Christ's character, we see the character of Jesus Christ. And it's important to recognize that Jesus Christ was kind, but that the very character or fabric of Jesus Christ is kindness and mercy. Notice in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, the Apostle Paul, speaking of the character of Jesus, says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow His steps." If you've ever read the book, Following in His Steps or Walking in His Steps, "who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. And when He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live into righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." I remember having the privilege of going to the Holy Land in the fall of 2015. And I remember standing there looking at the hill of Golgotha, Mount Calvary, the hill of the skull. And it was here where Jesus Christ was crucified. It was here where the Son of God was hung on the cross. And we think about Jesus Christ. He was perfect, so He was falsely accused. We think about Jesus Christ. He was accosted. He was betrayed. Judas kisses Him on the cheek to mark Him as the living Son of God. He is taken. He is given a mock trial. He is beaten, He is scourged, and He eventually is hung on the cross. And while Jesus was there enduring all of this shame and all of this suffering for you and for me, the Bible says when He was reviled, when He was mistreated, when He was falsely accused, when He was spat upon, when they were casting lots for His garments, the Bible says He did not revert in any way unkindly. He was not there with a revengeful spirit. He was not reciprocating to them the kind of treatment that they were giving to Him. The Bible says He reviled not. We sing this song from time to time. He could have called 10,000 angels, but He did not. In fact, the very words that Jesus uttered were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In a moment where getting even would have been something that every one of us in this room would see as completely justified, that's not what Jesus did. He reviled not again. It was in His character to be gentle, to be kind. But notice, letter B, the compassion of Jesus. Jesus not only displayed the impeccable character toward those who hated Him, but He also displayed a heart of compassion. It was His kindness, and it was His love, and it was His person who offered Jesus Christ and offered salvation to the very people that were nailing Him on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, He had me and He had you on His mind. It was for our sins that He died, and what compassion He had. The Bible says in Titus 3:4, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appear, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." Listen, friend, You and I do not bring something to the relationship with Jesus Christ that makes us worthy of Him. It's not by our righteousness, but by the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He willingly gave His life that we might have a relationship with Him in an eternal home in heaven. That is the compassion of Jesus Christ. It is His kindness. It is His mercy that He gave a substitutionary payment for our sins. And this is spoken of in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why are we extended the gift of an eternal life in heaven? Because of the gentleness and kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His compassion. So then notice with me, secondly, the expression of gentleness. How should we express this characteristic in our daily lives? Well, let's look at four areas that we could implement this in our daily routines. Letter A, through sensitivity. One of the first ways that the fruit of gentleness is expressed in our lives is through sensitivity. People that are gentle are sensitive toward God and toward others. What they could do that would please the Lord. What needs maybe that are happening in the lives of others that they can be a help or a blessing in. And we understand that it's so important that if we're going to be a child of God, that we are sensitive to those around us, because they're not going to be interested in what we know about God and what we can tell them about God if they don't sense that we're interested in them. It's very important that we have a sensitivity toward them. And we live in a world where people are very insensitive, sometimes mostly in their very close relationships. In fact, they've done a lot of studies about how dependent we are on devices and social media and networking and all of these kinds of things, that we struggle with the person sitting right in front of us. And it's so important in life that we take the time to be sensitive to the people in our relationships around us. To our spouse, to our family. And in Philippians, the Bible says the opposite of this: look not every man on his own things, but also every man on the things of others. Now, how is this possible? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So when we're following the example of Christ, we're not just thinking about ourselves, but we're thinking about others. We're sensitive to their needs and what it is that they're going through. It's very important to be sensitive to your spouse. How are they doing? How are they feeling? What are they going through? What can you do for them? Being sensitive in your closest relationships. And that's where we can display gentleness and kindness in our life. But let it be through sympathy. Another way to express this gentleness in our daily life is through sympathy. The Bible says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Being sympathetic, understanding where people are at and identifying with them and helping them in this way. We understand this morning, that everybody has burdens. Some relationships might be going through a season of difficulty. Somebody might be going through a health struggle. Somebody might be facing a financial burden. Everybody has problems. Everybody has burdens. But we can be sympathetic to that. We can be aware of that, and we can strive to be gentle and be kind. Listen, one of the most common things amongst people is problems. Right? Lots of people have problems. Lots of people are facing adversity. Lots of people are going through a difficult time. Think about the opportunity you have every day to be a blessing by just being gentle, by just being kind, by a smile, by a positive interaction with a coworker, by a recognition that they might have a tough exterior, but on the inside, they might really be hurting. And if I can show them the love of Christ, I might have an opportunity to have an eternal impact in their life. People everywhere are having problems. But a spirit-filled Christian is marked by not only their response to adversity that they're facing, but by their response to the adversity in the lives of others as well. They're sympathetic. They want to help bear a burden, and they want to be a blessing. But let her see. Through straightforwardness. So we can display this gentleness and kindness in our lives through the opportunity to be sensitive and through being sympathetic, but also then to be straightforward. Now, gentleness is conveyed when we are straightforward. And by this I mean that gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is learning that, listen, sometimes we have to be straightforward in love with somebody. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, Sounds a little backwards, doesn't it? We don't think of a good friend as someone who wounds us. But the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. The Bible says cherish the fact you've got someone in your life who will speak the truth in love to you. It's not always telling you everything you want to hear, but it's speaking the truth to you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And there will be times in life where you have to confront someone with the truth. It may be something in the context of marriage where something is not right or something has come up and it needs to be dealt with. It may be in the context of parenting that there's something going on in the life of your child and you need to confront that. And sometimes we don't want to confront it, because it's easier not to confront it. It's easier just to let it go and be like, hey, hopefully it'll take care of itself. And we'll pray about it. And we even spiritualize it, you know. But the reality is we should roll up our sleeves and just get involved. And sometimes this characteristic, this fruit of being gentle and kind, is found in being straightforward, willing to, in love, confront or to bring something up in a relationship that we have so that truth may prevail. No cancer patient likes going under the knife and having that surgery, but they recognize it is needful if you are going to take out the disease cells and have opportunity to live. And sometimes in life, in a relationship, something needs to be addressed and dealt with and fixed and resolved and healed if we're going to be able to move on. And so, do we care enough to confront our spouse, our family? Do we care enough to confront even our community and government from time to time? This past week, I had the privilege Monday of flying up to our state capitol, and I preached at the California Capitol Connection. It's an initiative to get pastors and elected officials together for the purpose of prayer and encouragement and so on. And I've been a part of it for several years. It was a blessing to be there again and to co-labor with like-minded pastors who have a love for the Lord, who have a love for their community, but who have a love for getting involved in the Capitol and with elected officials and just letting them know that we're praying for them. And we have some good godly legislators in Sacramento that are in the super minority, and it encourages their heart to know that people pray for them and appreciate what they're doing. And we obviously have many legislators in Sacramento that don't love God, that have an agenda against God, and they need to be confronted in love by constituents that want to remind them that we're against that kind of legislation and we need to stand for truth and for right. My heart was so grieved. One of the family alliance groups was speaking Tuesday morning there in the governor's room of the Capitol, and he was talking about some things that families are facing in the state of California. He was talking about the new curriculum that's been adopted in all of our public schools. And now in the fifth grade in our public school curriculum, as part of the sex education, not only do we teach them how to identify their sex, but we also teach them how to use sexual toys. And he was explaining that, and he was careful. It was a mixed crowd. But I sat there and I thought for a moment, as a father of a fifth grade girl, and it started in my toes. And I thought, where are the moms and the dads who say, enough is enough? I am not putting my child in an environment where some godless person is going to teach them about such wickedness and me do nothing. And I recognize maybe not everybody can afford the investment of a Christian education at a place like Lancaster Baptist School. But everybody can homeschool. Everybody can do something. And all it takes for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. And there's going to be times in our lives where we are confronted with truth and we are going to have to decide to do something. And gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is being kind, but being firm. Gentleness is understanding there is a truth worth fighting for. And there are times where it could be in an intimate relationship. There are times where in the community we are aware of something and the Christians need to take a bold stand for right and be straightforward in their gentleness. But then letter D, through spontaneity. Now, how can we express gentleness in this way? Well, Galatians says, as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And we've been taught for years at Lancaster Baptist, when you see the need, take the lead. And sometimes God just wants you to be aware. It doesn't have to be an organized soul winning time. You can invite someone to church anytime. It doesn't have to be Thanksgiving to take a pie to a widow. You can do that anytime you want. You don't have to wait for open house to go be a blessing to somebody. It's just being sensitive to the leading of the Spirit and being a blessing to those around us at any opportunity that we might have. And then thirdly, we see the empowerment of gentleness. And you say, man, I want to have that and I want to be kind, but it's just not in my DNA. That's okay, because it's in the Lord's. And you're going to hear about this at 11 if you weren't at 8:30. So we're going to run through this very quickly. Letter A, we are empowered by the Spirit of God. No, we cannot do it, but God can do it through us, and how thankful we are for that. And it can be seen even in our homes and in our closest relationships. And then we see letter B, that we are encouraged by the testimony of Jesus Christ. Again, when he could have reviled, he reviled not. When he could have gotten back and reciprocated that kind of behavior, he did not. And can I encourage you and I this morning, let's display the fruit of gentleness and kindness in our life. Let's follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's manifest this in our daily routines of life.